Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Said he would do this at the last second. We appreciated the outstanding Nate Bowers. Sir, welcome.
Anytime, Steve. What's going on?
Just sitting here waiting for the plane.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right.
That's what I do. I wait for the plane.
What's the weather like in Indiana today?
Right now, good. It's supposed to start snowing after midnight. It's actually not bad. It's going to be snow and wind, and then when the game's over tomorrow, it's just going to be windy and cold. So we'll
just
see.
Avoid those travel troubles. You know,
Michigan State and into the Palestra was interesting. So, but you know what? I think I've lived it enough where it's like, okay, you just roll with it and go.
Sure.
Yeah. So, Stacy Collins, not a lot of things, I think you know, not a lot of things surprise me. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. This one surprised me. I was surprised by it. What was your thought on that? Because that means there'll be three new coordinators for Penn State.
Yeah, I think that you weren't the only one that was surprised, is kind of my understanding of the situation. You know, look, it's... professionally, James Franklin has wanted Penn State to get into a position as a program where you're not losing anyone to lateral moves, to taking steps back in terms of prestige of program. And certainly, Stacy Collins becoming the special teams coordinator, it's literally a lateral title, right? And then also at a program in a conference that's certainly not of the caliber or prestige as Penn State. So it's one of those things where you're weighing the professional against the personal. And for Stacy Collins, a guy who has spent many years of his life, his family's life in the Pacific Northwest, it makes sense, right? And so I think that job opened up for him. It was an opportunity that to get back there, a place that they liked. And he took it, right? So, it is an interesting spot for Penn State to be in the sense that certainly, you know, obviously Mike Yurcich was Franklin's decision. Manny Diaz at Duke is a toss-up, right, in terms of, maybe he goes, but maybe he doesn't. I don't think Penn State was totally... I want to say not totally prepared for that, but thought there was a chance that that was a job that wouldn't necessarily be appealing to Manny Diaz. And then certainly this situation leaves you, back on the grind, trying to find a new voice in the room. I mean, certainly I don't think it's of the – it's not of the – like special team, I can just hear coaches hating what I'm about to say, but yeah, special teams doesn't carry necessarily the same interpersonal significance of a defensive coordinator or an offensive coordinator, but it's one that strategically, certainly James Franklin's, going to have to go out there and get a next, figure out a next step for the program moving forward.
Yeah, and we'll see whether that next step is outside or whether it's an internal promotion, which is, they're both possibilities. But I was surprised by it. And Stacy also coached linebackers, too. He helped out Manny at the linebacking spot because the special teams coordinator has to also handle another position besides what they're doing. So it's going to be a combo of both, and we'll see which direction James wants to go with it. But I was surprised by it.
Well, And I think it's important to note that there are still some things to figure out, I think, in terms of who's going to be in charge of the quarterbacks.
Right.
Right. Moving forward, Andy Kotelnicki is not, that has not been his thing, is being a quarterback coach. So does this give Franklin in some ways a little bit of flexibility? I think it does, right? To maybe move some pieces around, find some fits for, what they want to do there. Certainly if you could find a quarterback coach, special teams coordinator hybrid, I'm not sure that there's a ton of those out there, But you could foresee a situation where maybe Danny O'Brien gets a shot at quarterbacks, right? And you slide somebody else in as a special teams coordinator. I don't think that it is necessarily a cut and dry,
right?
Oh, you have to go find a person who is out there in the college football coaching world with many years of experience as a focused special teams coach.
And then the transfer portal, the way Penn State does it, they want to develop as many players as possible. And yes, the 2024 roster does contain on a Keandre Lambert-Smith, as you correctly pointed out. But in the transfer portal, they get a wide receiver, Julian Fleming. They get an offensive lineman, Nolan Rucci. Then they get Harrison Kimber at the corners. And then they've got the place kicker from Tulsa, Meyer, and the defensive end, Mayer from Wisconsin. In terms of just like the plugging of needs, because I'm not going to ask you to evaluate the players. I mean, you've got other guys in the staff that do that. But just on the position of need, no. But hey, look, it's always important to go to the strengths of your guest, and that's why I try to do whenever possible. But just on the need part of it, as to what Penn State needed, what did you think?
Yeah, I think certainly you need. You need someone to compete for a starting cornerback job, right? Bottom line is you're in a situation there with two rising freshmen who have shown some good things, and obviously Cam Miller. Like, that's you're not depleted there at cornerback, but you need someone who can step in and instantaneously compete for a starting job opposite Cam Miller. So I do think that with Kimber and Harris, they have accomplished that, right? One of those two guys, certainly Harris being the more lauded of the two, gives you an opportunity to plug that in, but it also gives you the numbers that you need to kind of keep the room at the right balance. So I thought that was important. Nolan Rucci, yeah. I mean, you look at that. You look at that offensive line. It's, you know, could he start from day one? I don't know. But there's going to be an opportunity there, right? You've got three departures with Caden Wallace, Hunter Norzad, and Olu, obviously. And so I do think that there are some options in terms of guys that can play center that have been at guard this year, right? There's an opportunity for Phil Trautwein to kind of shuffle how that lineup looks. And so figuring out where he fits in that equation is going to be interesting. And Julian Fleming, I mean, it's you're banking on him being more than he ever became at Ohio State, but also him having an opportunity based on the complexion of the room as it currently sits, to, like, a better opportunity, right? I mean, if you don't climb to the number one receiver because you're up against, what, four first-round draft picks over your career?
Look, right? Marvin Harrison, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson. I mean, you start going through all the guys that they've had there. That quote, he's been behind. And by the way, Egbuka has decided to come back, and a lot of people think he has a chance to be a one.
Yep. So yeah, if you're not the top receiver in a group that includes four of the best to go to the NFL over the last three or four years, you can understand that. You can, you know, it doesn't mean that you're a disappointment or that you haven't reached expectation. It just means that you're in an incredibly competitive room that has a bunch of NFL talent. Whereas Penn State, look, let's be honest, Penn State's receivers did not produce this season to the level that anyone at Penn State had hoped. And so it's not to say that there's not talent in the room. There is talent in the room, but it's certainly not established, and it certainly leaves open a hole for guys to assert themselves. I mean, that's the whole conversation, is who is going to do it day in and day out, and Penn State really didn't have that this past season.
And look, I think it's a golden opportunity for both Penn State and for Julian Fleming. I mean, I think it really 100%. Can be. Yeah. Basketball. they've gone in the last six halves of basketball. They've had one half where they went 5 of 10 and 3. Mm-hmm. The other 5, 7 of 59. If they just hit a couple, okay? If they hit a couple against against Maryland, they're 26% in the Big Ten in three, 26%.
Yep.
If they hit one more against Maryland, they win. If they hit one more against Northwestern, especially early in the second half, they win. I mean, this team, like, the weird thing is this is a close to being a 4-1 Big Ten team instead of being 2-3 because of that shot, and it's not like they know guys who can shoot it.
I said it on Wednesday night. If Andrew Funk is on this team, this is probably an NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's not.
Nope.
He's not. And so,
not at the moment.
You know,
no.
You got to ride with the horses that you got. Zach Hicks, just, you know, it has not worked out. I mean, that's what he was brought to Penn State to do. He was the first transfer portal target on campus when the new staff got here. He just hasn't shot it. He has not shot it well enough. Mike Rhodes, look, like, let's clear the air here. Mike Rhodes is talking about him in the post game.
Yes,
saying,
he is.
You got to get in the gym. You got to get more confident. You got to shoot till your fingers bleed. And that's like, let's be clear. That's what's going to happen. Is he will continue to take those shots. He has to. They have to have that ingredient. You know, Leo Boyle isn't taking them anymore, and Jameel Brown is obviously coming off an injury and isn't necessarily that guy anyway.
Leo needs actually a screen to do it. Like, there's certain guys that can get their own shot, right?
Yep.
Leo does need a little more help. Once he gets his shot, he's fine, but he does need a little more help to get it. I mean, it's just a fact of life.
That's true. Yep, no doubt about it. So, I will be interested to see. I don't think the equation works without those three-point shots. I don't think the formula that Rhodes has works without those three-point shots. But the interesting thing to me is going back and looking, his team last year at VCU was not a volume three-point shooting team.
Right.
I think that they got to the free throw line just a little bit more. It wasn't a ton more, but I think they got there a little bit more than Penn State is getting there this year. I asked him after the game on Wednesday. He was obviously frustrated with the officiating. It drew a technical, kind of changed the complexion of the game a little bit. But when we've seen this before, right, Steve? When your plan of attack offensively is getting to the free throw line because you're attacking the basket, right? So whether you get to the free throw line or not is secondary to the point of you're taking your shots close to the basket.
Right.
Either you make them because those are high percentage shots anyway, or if you get mugged, you go to the free throw line. Well, what happens when you cannot make the shots physically because you're being pushed to the ground, but they're also not calling... They're not calling the foul. It leaves you with very few options, and those options are taking threes in some cases. But this is a team that just it hasn't been able to make them, and so they were left without many options. There wasn't any recourse for them to score points in the second half of that game on Wednesday, and it just left them really in a no-win situation.
Look, today's game, everybody has to hit it. I mean, you need to be at minimum, to be successful in men's college basketball, you have to be a 33% three-point shooting team, minimum, right, today. Well, they're not there yet, and 26% in the Big Ten. And I asked Mike last night on the show, I said, look, of the 17 you took, how many were good looks? He said 15. Then I talked to Joe Crispin at practice today, and he said 14, in his opinion. He said, and one of the worst ones was Kanye, the one he made.
Yeah.
That was among the three he didn't like. He goes, but he says he's got the green light. Every player needs to make a step forward along the way. Kanye, Clary last year to this year, what are you saying?
I mean, it's just excellence. I think that I see two things. One is that Micah didn't, he just, it was such a bad fit, right? It just did not fit the system that they had. And so I thought that they tried to adjust, and they tried to, like, obviously Kanye provided spark to that team last season and in many cases helped them in some critical moments. But overall, what they were doing, Kanye just wasn't a fit for that. Whereas with Rhodes and this staff and what they want to do in terms of spacing the floor, he's a fantastic fit. It's seamless how well he fits. But also, he's just a better player. He's just an overall better player. He obviously put a ton of work into his game over the offseason. He's so crafty with the basketball. His shooting percentages are up. I mean, all of the development that he's taken, he's developed as a defender. Like, there are just things that he's done to get better as a player that, paired with the system that he's now in under Rhodes, has made him just an excellent, excellent player. And it makes you, really, it's like, not only is it what he's doing this year, but, hey, what does the future hold for him? You can just see this kid being really, really good and assertive as a lead guard in the Big Ten over the next couple of years.
I have no question. Now they've got Zach Edey. We go from Kanye Clary at 5'10", 5'11", to 7'3", 7'4", Zach Edey.
Mm-hmm.
Coming off a loss, I'm sure they're in a great mood.
Mm-hmm.
So what did Nebraska do? I don't know if you had a chance to watch really much of it. He got in some trouble. But he got in some foul trouble in the game. He only took 10 shots. I mean, he was 6 of 10. I mean, how do you need to defend him other than the fact, look, Smith does a good job, especially when he goes right. He's an excellent passer going to his right. But what can you do to actually defend this guy in any way, shape, or form?
I mean, you collapse, right? You put – it's not just one person defending Zach Edey. It's four. it's three. You collapse the paint when you defend him, and then get those hands, right? Get the hands on the ball before he has a chance to take it up. That, I think that Penn State does have some strength there in terms of how handsy this team is. I'm not exactly sure how to describe it, right? But Ace had 8 steals the other night. And yes, a lot of those are in an open floor situation, but if you can collapse around Edey, sure, you're gonna foul him a bunch. He's gonna go to the free throw line. That's fine, but you cannot have him go one on one against Kutis. It's gonna be a disaster. He's gonna make hay out of that, right? So they're gonna have to defend him as a team, and then you're gonna take your shots, right? There's gonna be that inside outside action where their shooters are gonna get shots. And you do your best. You try to confuse them as much as you can. I mean, I think that some of the things that I've seen, and you've seen obviously over the last two games, is the realization of what Rhodes is looking for defensively.
That's right.
I mean, this is stuff that I'm not nearly the student of the game that you are, Steve, obviously, or Dick, but the rotations and the variations of those rotations, it's confusing for me. So on the floor, what these guards, what Boo Booey was looking at the other night, what is happening to the ball movement around the perimeter, Penn State stepping into passing lanes, it is wild. Truly, it is organized chaos. So if they're able to employ some of that to change those looks up from possession to possession, I do think it gives them a little bit of a weapon from what Purdue is used to seeing.
Yeah, and that's something Taylor Battle talked to Dick and I about that after the game. He says we average 8.5 turnovers a game. We turned it over 18. He said they were all over the place on us. So the problem
and
was they
just,
couldn't.
And it's not just fouling, right? That's part of the conversation in the past is, you're just a super aggressive team. Pat's teams used to load up fouls because that's what they did. They were physical, and sometimes you get called for it, sometimes you don't.
Right.
These are clean picks. I mean, they're picking pockets. forcing you into bad decisions, and then you take advantage of that.
When I look at Edey, by the way, just take a quick look at it. Depends on where he starts. He's become a better passer, by the way, out of the post. I mean, watching the videos. But the key with him is, to me, has always been, if he catches and shoots, he scores. If he catches one dribble, he scores. But if he has to go a second, third, or fourth dribble, the percentage goes down with each one. So just watch that tomorrow and see if they can force that to happen. So
keep him out of the paint in the first place.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry. That's a difficult man to move. That's a difficult man to move. My friend, thank you so much for jumping in last second the way you did and actually tripling the ratings of the show.
Oh, stop. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
That sounds great. Thanks, Nate. Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Great to have him on the show today.